Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Ever. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Father Joseph Mary Wolf on, and we are discussing a holy hour with Mother Angelica. And it is a publication from EWTN. And this book is phenomenal. And I have taken it many times and used it, and it has helped me so much in my adoration time with Jesus. And who wouldn't want to be guided in a holy hour by Mother Angelica? So this book has been excellent, and we are just going to dive right into it and the importance of adoration and what it means and how it can completely transform your life. But before we do that, we have a quick message from our dear friend, Justin Fatiga, on Eucharistic adoration. So stay tuned.
Eucharistic adoration is one of the most powerful experiences you're ever going to go through. One time I was struggling with a family member, and I said I didn't want to spend time with them. And Jesus said in adoration, "He loves me more than you do." I started thinking about all the times this family member was loving, forgiving, and I actually couldn't even find one time where he discouraged somebody. I realized that day in adoration that I needed to love like this person. Being a man, I said, "I'm going to outlove him." I went home and I said, "I'm proud of you." And he said, "Let's just watch the game." But it's been my goal to love with all my heart this person, because this person does have Jesus in them. And when we go to adoration, he helps us to be vulnerable in our heart so we can go out to the world and love others no matter what.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me this morning. Today we have a very special guest, Father Joseph Mary Wolf. Thank you for joining me, Father.
It is great to be with you, Crystalina. The last time I saw you was on the Jim and Joy show.
Yes, you were there sitting in the audience, and then you came on and did the second half of it. And it was such a blessing to be able to go out there and be on the grounds at EWTN and just experience all of it. And listeners out there, if you ever have a chance to go there, it is absolutely magnificent. And to see everything that Mother Angelica built, it truly is unbelievable what this nun did. So if you have a chance to get out there and visit. But before we get into Father's interview, I want to ask, Father, will you please just lead us in a quick prayer to start this?
Certainly. Father, we thank you for those who've gone before us, who have charted the path for us of growing in holiness. And we thank you for all the gifts that you gave to Mother Angelica that blessed so many and continue to do so. We ask that we too may grow in holiness, fulfill the work you've given to us in this life, and one day enjoy eternal life with all the saints. Amen.
Amen. Perfect. So we are here today talking about this new book coming out. I'm so excited. I already ordered my pre-order copy. It's going to be in the mail soon. And it is A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica. And who wouldn't want to pray a holy hour with Mother Angelica, right? So tell us about this new exciting book coming out, Father.
So I believe I was actually an engineering brother at the time. And it was 1988. And at that time, this was before the televised masses. Those began in 1991. And so there were no live devotions. There were no live masses. And Mother saw the need, because there was a lot of different things going on in the media that were blaspheming God and so on, for all of us who were joined together on the network to pray together. And so these holy hours she began, it was actually done in the studio on Thursdays, I believe at 7 p.m., and she would lead these holy hours. And so these are the transcribed holy hours, her meditations, the prayers that she would do, and then different commentary on what was going on.
So this came out of a need of the faith being attacked, and she wanted to defend Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And yes. Right now, it's such a book for our time, because I feel that's what we're having to do right now today.
And a lot of people have fear, they're afraid or they're unsure, they don't want to get persecuted. But prayer is where we truly get the strength to kind of overcome that fear, Father. And I think this book can help people do that.
Yes, definitely. And the first holy hour was on reparation, you know, making reparation. And she asked the question in that very first chapter. She says, what is a holy hour? She said, it means you dedicate an hour totally to God, praising Him, loving Him, and saying to Him, Lord, I'm sorry that so many people don't know You, love You, or praise You. So that's a simple way of looking at the holy hour, and the first one was on reparation, but she goes into other themes as well. There's 28 different chapters in this book, everything from a Marian holy hour to a holy hour of joy, of seeking Jesus, and of realizing that we too are healers.
Oh, wow. What do you mean by that? Some people are confused by that phrase.
Yes. And those insights, as I was reading these transcriptions, I said, wow, that's really powerful, Mother. So the one chapter she has is on an hour of healing. And she says that we're all healers. We wouldn't think of ourselves in that way. But she says, you know, you have the indwelling Trinity. And so you have a power within you to heal your broken brother. And she gives an example. She said, have you ever been so down in the dumps? And then somebody calls you and just says, well, how are you doing? And they just pour love and compassion on top of the pain that you're going through. And she says, you're a healer when you do that, when you bring some healing, some consolation to others. And I think it's a great way for us to look. She says, have a sense of healing your neighbor constantly, through our words, our encouragement, through our own loving them, helping them in whatever way we can, we are bringing healing into their life, the healing that is within us of the Blessed Trinity.
Absolutely. And this is the thing, Father Joseph, that a lot of people feel helpless or that what is it they can do, right? And just right there alone, you can go and just show your neighbor and the people around you love. And that's something powerful right there.
Yes. And she says, also, don't say, I don't need healing. We all do. And she uses an example that we're all little cracked vessels, right? Cracked pots. And she talked about this little teacup that it just fit in her hand so well, but it had a crack in it. But she loved it because it just fit well in her hand. And she says, that's God loving us too. We need healing too. So we are the little cracked pots, if you will, that need God's healing. And He's holding us in the palm of His hand. He's caring for us. So we too need healing. But then also to see that we can extend, as St. Paul says, that we can bring that compassion that we have received to others.
Now, with this holy hour and this book that Mother wrote, what is kind of the format that people will see once they get this book and how it kind of flows?
So it always begins with a particular theme for that particular holy hour. So as I mentioned, reparation, being a healer, seeking Jesus, and so on. And then there'll be a prayer. Often it's a litany, one of the litanies. Some of them I hadn't been aware of that they use during these holy hours. Sometimes it will be one of the Psalms, which are powerful prayers, of course, that the Church has used since the beginning of Christianity, that the Jews prayed as well in the temple. And then it will close with a commentary by Mother, just a reflection on prayer and on the theme for the day. So I say that it can be something that a person uses just when they make their own holy hour. It's good to have a little food for meditation. Maybe you're just going to read something of what Mother wrote and just contemplate on that as you're praying before the Lord, making your own holy hour. Or maybe because there's 28 of them, you could make your own 28-day retreat and use one of them for each day. But I think you'll always find something that's insightful, something that will make you laugh. Mother had a way of doing that. And you know, I say too that Franciscan joy is a sign that God's in charge, you know, and we can take things a little more lightly. We don't have to carry the world on our shoulders because God's doing that. And so that joy, that humor that was so characteristic of Mother, whenever she was at the network, there were always people gathered around her and there was always laughter going on. But there was also a great love and trust in the Lord.
I think a lot of people, Father, and a lot of even family members of my own have such a lack of faith today, and even a lack of faith in the Eucharist itself and Jesus being there with us. And I truly believe with all of my heart, it is the antidote to everything going on. And if we utilize what Jesus has given us with Mass and adoration and just the sacraments and the rosary and becoming this army of Catholics that are full of prayer and faith and hope and just doing what God's asking us in our heart, I truly believe we can change things. But there is such a lack of faith in the Eucharist, and that is Jesus himself. What do you have to say to those people that are struggling with that right now?
Think of those in our own time, contemporaries of ours, who accomplished things beyond just normal human strength, like Mother Angelica. How did she bring about this global television network that reaches 145-plus countries, 300 million homes around the world in multiple languages? How did she start this, and how did it continue to work? Well, the Lord inspired it, of course, and he inspired others to help her and support her. But at the heart of EWTN has always been, always, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And that's because Mother Angelica's community, the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration, their life is centered on our Lord in the Eucharist. And it's from there that he strengthens us, he lifts us up when we're down, he gives us direction, he gives us a mission to accomplish. But it's always there we're going to have the source of our strength. You know, Mother Angelica told the story, she would tell the story how one time everything was going wrong. The network was having troubles, their financial troubles, people were giving her headaches and and so on, inside and outside of the church. And so she goes into the chapel, she was having chronic back pain, she had pain most of her life. And she said, "Lord, why me?" And she said the Lord was silent. And then he answered, "Yes, Angelica, and why me?" And she said, "I felt like a heel, and I never asked that question again." And so it's just the question, "Lord, give me the strength, show me the way." And he did, obviously, because she accomplished something really that's remarkable.
Now, a lot of people do hear God's voice, but they question it, or they have their conscience where they know they should be doing something and they're not doing it, or they shouldn't be doing something and they don't stop doing it. I feel everyone hears that voice of God, but they question it. And then there's also a lack of courage. And that's one thing Mother Angelica didn't lack was the obedience and the courage to just go forth in what God asked her to do. And I'm sure it wasn't always like that for her, but it's always just one foot in front of the other. It's just that next thing Jesus is asking, and just accomplish it and then keep going. And he'll always provide everything we need. But there's such a lack of courage, but also, Father, a lack of doing God's will. People are afraid because you're handing over control, and it's scary and it's hard for people. So maybe we can talk to the hearts of those people that have a hard time maybe just trusting in God and surrendering.
I came across another quote of Mother in this book where she talked about those who say, "Well, you know, I just want to go to heaven now. I'm tired of the troubles of this life." And she said, "You're being cowardly." I thought, wow, I've never thought of it in that way, that we're called to have courage, trust in the fortitude, the gift of fortitude the Holy Spirit gives us, be faithful to the Lord today. And Mother had said one time that she wanted to live as long as possible. And she was asked, well, why? And she said, because you don't know the value of one more act of love of God, one more act of service of God, one more just holy thought of God. She said, you don't know the value of that, the eternal value of that. And so God has placed us here at this particular challenging time in history, 2021. And there's a lot of challenges going on. But why did God put us here at this time? Well, because we have a particular mission, a way that we are to help this time, help souls at this time. And we have to have that trust that He's going to give us the graces that we need to fulfill our mission and to grow in holiness all the days of our lives and to one day to have that crown of glory. So it is for us then to seek His will today. How do we do that? Well, for me, I often tell people, just go before the Blessed Sacrament, like you were saying earlier. Just be there in His presence. He gives us light. He gives us strength. I've found that so many times in my own life. That's my lifeline, is the Eucharist, is the Mass, is adoration. We have a holy hour every day, just as the sisters and Mother Angelica had a holy hour every day. Bishop Sheen encouraged that. Because it really is our lifeline. If Jesus is really present there, and He is, then He's going to lift us up. He's going to show us the way, and we're going to bear fruit because we're attached to the vine.
I love that. That it truly is our lifeline. You said everything mm-hmm. in that one sentence. And when we're away from that, it's so much harder to do everything we're asked to do and then some. But if we go there and we get the strength and the wisdom and everything God wants to give us in that moment, people just have to have the faith to know He's truly going to do that. And I love Mother Angelica's sassy attitude because, man, did she have a sassy attitude, but a holy attitude. But it was mm-hmm. a godly attitude as well. But she was unapologetically faithful mm-hmm. to Jesus. And that's how we all should live. And that just march forward and Jesus will take care of it. And I heard you say something once, Father, that I absolutely love. And I want to share it with my listeners, is the dew drop system. Oh, this is so mm-hmm. great. This is great. It is. Explain that to everyone listening.
Oh, I love that too. And I often think of that, reflect on that, because you and I are involved in the media, and sometimes you finish a program or a homily in my case, and I say, I don't know if that was very good. Mm-hmm. I could have said it better. I could have done this better. Mother Angelica didn't want you to just go over and over and over again over these things. She said, do it, do the best that you can, and drop it, and then move on to the next thing. She wasn't one of those who was nostalgic. The Lord had done wonderful things in the past. But it wasn't just dwelling on what the Lord did in the past. It's what He wants to do now, in this present moment, in the future. How does He want me to fulfill my mission, the work that He's given me to do? And she said she never liked to watch herself. She told me one time she never watched herself because she said it made her too self-conscious, you know, that you could be going over and over and over again your foibles, your mistakes, or whatever. Just do it, drop it, and live in the present moment. What does the Lord have for me now?
And that simplifies everything. It just simplifies yes. everything. Just walk away. Okay, we did what God was mm-hmm. asking, and just let Him do His thing, right? And pondering. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because really, your self-talk can just eat you alive. And the questions of, well, did I say this right? Did I do that right? And, you know, just give it to Jesus. And even if you feel you didn't do something right, and you did your best, and you still are hard on yourself, just know the power of your own testimony to the world is huge. And maybe you feel you didn't do things adequately in something God's asking you to do, but maybe it was perfectly adequate and that God changed that person's life with or without you being perfect in your mind. Because that's what happened to me when I listened to that young man who had the courage to get up and give his testimony, and it pierced that darkness I was in, Father. Mm-hmm. His courage, it was unshakable, and it really pierced the darkness nobody in my life could pierce. So people really need to understand that God wants to use them today, and mm-hmm. that also that they have strength in the power of their faith and their testimony and what God wants to give to the world through them.
It doesn't all depend on us.
That's right.
We have to remember that He is strong in our weakness. So even when we mess up, and I remember a priest one time, he said that he had, for some reason, the other priest was sick in the parish. He had like 5 masses, and the last mass, he said, I didn't even know what I was saying. I was so tired. And later, a woman came up and she said, you know what, you touched me because I really wanted to take my life today, and what you said wow. really touched me. And he wasn't even sure what he had said. But that's where we have to realize it doesn't depend on us. We're there, we're His instruments, however He wants to use us, use me however you will. And He can bear fruit through us by the Spirit.
Again, we are here talking with Joseph Mary from EWTN about Mother Angelica's new book coming out, A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica. Now, when is this scheduled to come out, Father?
Well, I believe, like you said, you can pre-order it right now. So I think it should be hot off the presses very soon. I don't know the exact date, though.
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait. It's going to be Christmas that day in the mail for me. I'm serious. I cannot wait. It's going to be fantastic. Now, when it comes to Eucharistic adoration, can you explain what that is for maybe some listeners who have no idea what we're talking about?
You know, I love, and I often, when we have pilgrims here, so we have bus groups that will come here and we give them conferences. This past year with COVID, we haven't had that, but hopefully we'll pick up again this year. But anyway, one of my favorite talks that I like to give is based on a teaching by Father John Hardin, who is a holy Jesuit priest. His cause for canonization has been introduced by Cardinal Burke. And he talked about how he was in the seminary at the Gregorian University in Rome. And he and a German classmate were talking about, well, what's the difference between God being present everywhere, omnipresent, and His presence in the Eucharist? And they're talking about this or thinking about that. And Father Hardin said, it suddenly dawned on me, this is what's different. In the Eucharist, Jesus's sacred humanity is present. And so how did Jesus heal people in the Gospels? Through His sacred humanity, through His touch, through His word. He raises Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. The blind man Bartimaeus, he rubs mud on his eyes, tells him to go and to wash. So it's through His sacred humanity that Jesus brings healing. And He said that He continues to do so through His sacred humanity and divinity. And where is that present? In the Eucharist. That's what's unique about the Lord's Eucharistic presence, is His sacred humanity and His divinity, His body, blood, soul, and divinity are present. And He said that there's 3 ways that He brings us healing. 3 ways. The first is through intellectual healing. And so, for example, some people will suddenly get a light, an inspiration. André Frassard, he was an atheist, and he goes into this church looking for a friend, and they're having adoration. He didn't know what that was. And he's looking around for his friend, and he looks up at the monstrance. He doesn't know what that is. He sees the candles burning. And he said, suddenly the heavens were opened, or rather they were hurled at me. And he understood the Catholic faith, and he left that church a believer. And he said, No greater change could have happened than if I had walked into the Paris Zoo and come out a zebra. It was that dramatic for him because he wasn't even thinking about God at all. He wasn't interested in that topic at all. So that was an intellectual healing. He became a friend of Pope John Paul II and André Frassard. Well, we too will receive intellectual healings. Bishop Sheen said, regarding his own holy hours, he said, "We learn not only between two covers of a book, but two knees on a prayer before the Blessed Sacrament." Mm. And when he was asked, you know, "Why do you think your preaching touches so many people?" He said, "It's because of the holy hour. Whatever effect fruitfulness it has is because of that." And he made a holy hour every day of his life as a priest. So we too, when we come into the Blessed Sacrament, maybe we're not sure of the path we're to go. Maybe we're not sure of what we should do. Come into the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and he will give you light. So do you want to hear the other two?
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, yes, I'm holding my breath over here. Absolutely.
Okay, so think about that when you're looking for some light, direction, some wisdom from on high, we have a lot of technological knowledge today. We can do remarkable things like interviews mm-hmm. over the internet, which is wonderful. But technological knowledge is not enough. We need wisdom. What is the meaning of life? What's the goal of my life? How am I to live? How am I to be happy? That's wisdom. And that's what the Lord imparts to us. And that's what we'll find in Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. The second type of miracle Father Hardin talked about were moral miracles. And what he's talking about here is like I described with Mother Angelica doing remarkable things, or Pope John Paul II, who had a great, profound love for the Blessed Sacrament. I had the privilege to study in Rome and to attend one of his private masses as a seminarian. And one of the things that struck me about his Mass, and he was there before Mass in adoration. It was just before the tabernacle. There was an exposition, but he was praying before the Blessed Sacrament. But then after Holy Communion, there was a long time of silence, maybe 10 minutes. And I hear this like groan, this sound, and I said, "What's that?" I realized it was coming from him. And your husband has written about they called him the old lion mm-hmm. in his book, The Five Loves of Pope John Paul II. They said this not out of, you know, mocking him in any way, but just out of just the reverence for this Holy Spirit groaning with things beyond speech. So he did this remarkable, he was such a remarkable man and accomplished so much. Mother Teresa made a holy hour every day. So these are moral miracles that they were able to accomplish things beyond just human strength. And so if we're looking for strength, if we feel like we're at the end of our rope and we just can't go on, go there before the Blessed Sacrament. When we had our retreat before ordination, this holy Redemptorist priest said, "You know, when I come across a priest who just wants to throw in the towel, I tell him, go plop yourself down in front of the Blessed Sacrament and stay there."
It's true. So true, Father. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to hear the third one. I'm ready to go. We are going to take a quick break, though, with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back with Father Joseph. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Ever, and we are here with Father Joseph Mary discussing Mother Angelica's new book, Holy Hour with Mother Angelica. And he was getting ready to tell us the third thing to get mm-hmm. closer to Jesus in the Eucharist.
Yes, so Father Hardin had come up with three ways that we will find healing in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. And again, the Blessed Sacrament is where the sacred humanity and divinity of Jesus are present. And so he said there's intellectual miracles, just light that kind of goes on in our mind to give us knowledge, understanding. There are more miracles that people like Pope John Paul, Mother Teresa, Mother Angelica were able to do, these remarkable things with a strength that was given to them from God. And then the third thing he said are actual physical miracles that happen in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. We recently, I guess it was 2 years ago now, maybe 3 years, Father John Paul and I did a program on the five programs in Lourdes about the miracles of Lourdes. And one of the most recent ones that happened in Lourdes was a Salesian sister, Sister Luigina Traverso. And she was a Salesian sister. She became debilitated. I think she had multiple sclerosis, or I don't remember the illness exactly, but she wanted to do her work. She's just 30 years old, and she wasn't able to teach. And so she asked permission from her superior to go to Lourdes. She went there, and it was during the procession of the Blessed Sacrament that she received the blessing of the Blessed Sacrament, and she was completely physically healed. And she lived her life, you know, of service as a Salesian sister. Wow. After that complete healing. And in fact, we think of Lourdes, many of the miracles, of course, taking place through the miraculous spring, the waters of Lourdes, which points to baptism. But a great number of them also happen through the blessing with the Blessed Sacrament. And let me just tell you one more that I think is the most dramatic one, is a man, French man by the name of Gabriel Gargam. And as a teenager, he had stopped practicing the Catholic faith. He worked on a train, and his train had a head-on collision with another, and he was thrown out of the train, and it took a while for them to find him. He was paralyzed for 2 years, went down to skin and bones. So through the encouragement of an aunt who was a religious sister, he went to Lourdes, but he didn't really have faith. But when he went there, he goes to confession, makes a good confession, and then he goes to the baths, is put in the water, and then after that, they can't detect a breath. He was really at the end of his life. And so they cover his whole body with a sheet, taking him back to the hotel. But they had to pause because the procession with the Blessed Sacrament was happening. And the priest stopped, turned toward the throng there with the supposed dead body of Gabriel Gargam, does the blessing, and he immediately sits up. And he says, "I feel like I can walk. I'm healed." And the doctors couldn't believe it because his muscles had atrophied so much. And for 50 years, he went back to Lourdes as a volunteer to tell his story.
Wow. Wow, Father. That's beautiful. And just the power. Yeah. People don't realize what Jesus wants to give, I think, all of us. And he wants to talk to all of us. He wants to spend time with all of us. And it's really our will, right? And just giving over and just making the decision to go and give him that time. Because it's so hard for us to even give him a minute in a day, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, an hour. But if everyone listening right now decided once a week even, they were going to give 1 hour to Jesus a day, I truly believe your life would be transformed. By the end of that month, your life would change. And the course of the direction of where you're going and how you're living would change. Because maybe it's not in alignment of what God truly is wanting you to do right now. And that's okay. But God's mercy is waiting there for anyone. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. But all that matters right now is where we go from here. And our decisions hold weight. And it matters. And it's a ripple effect to our future as well. And one thing that I love is that Mother Angelica, Father Joseph, she would take everything into adoration in front of Jesus. I remember hearing a story, I think it's in Raymond Arroyo's book of Mother Angelica's biography, that she got a pair of new shoes and she was so excited and she marched right in front. She sat down and she put her foot out and she says, Look, Jesus, I got new shoes today, you know? Oh, I just love that, to the littlest thing. And maybe it sounds silly to some of you, but you can give Jesus everything because he wants to be a part of that. And I think we put this kind of wall up that he's over on that side and he's really far high up there and unreachable. Mm-hmm. And until we become these perfect saints, then we're going to get this lover. We become another Mother Angelica. And that's not the case. He wants to meet us right where we're at in our lives today. And mm-hmm. Eucharistic adoration can only strengthen that faith and love and relationship with him. Right, Father?
Yes, and Jesus met Rita Rizzo right where she was at, which was in a broken home as a teenager with a stomach problem that doctors couldn't find a solution to. She had to wear this brace in her abdomen to even digest a little bit of food. Mm. It was so bad. And she said she was questioning whether God cared or existed. And then this holy woman, whose cause is actually advancing, Rhoda Weiss, in Canton, Ohio, where Rita Rizzo, Mother Angelica, lived, she said, make a novena to St. Therese. And it was during that novena, I believe it was the last day of that 9-day novena of prayers, that she was completely healed. And she said, I knew then that he knew me personally and loved me personally. And that's true of everyone, even if you wouldn't receive some miraculous healing as Mother did, that he knows you personally. He loves you personally. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she said, he misses you when you're not there. He longs for you. He thirsts for you. And if we can think about that and realize that truth, it changes everything because we're loved. We're not looking here and there trying to find our security in this or that or people's approval or whatever it is. No, we have this deep security in Jesus, in his love for us.
It's beautiful. And it's true. It's absolutely true. And the common theme that I'm hearing Father say is Mother Angelica, Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II all had a deep love for the Eucharist. And they spent a lot of time in front of Jesus. And he gave him the grace and wisdom and everything they needed to go out and become these powerhouses for the church. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what I feel Jesus really needs all of us right now, because he needs all hands on deck with everything going on to just deepen our faith, go to him, almost get our marching orders, Father.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then just mm-hmm. go and do what it is we need to do and do not be afraid. And I feel like now Catholics do the bare minimum, if anything, mm-hmm. and that we need to kind of shake it off and to take our faith a little more seriously and truly listen to those little promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because listen, if God is going to took the time to put something on my little tiny heart, you know, it mm-hmm. must matter, even if it doesn't make sense or
right.
I don't want to do it or it just seems meaningless. Well, it matters to God. So that means I need to just get off of my bottom and go do it, you know, and mm-hmm. that's the end.
Right.
Because it matters
mm-hmm.
to Jesus. And that's got to matter to me, too. And I think by doing those little promptings of the Holy Spirit, it's like God will ask you more and more and he'll direct you. And again, it all goes back to not being afraid and not to throw your common sense out the window just because the mm-hmm. masses are doing something. I mean, we know deep in our heart and in our soul what it is right from wrong. And these days in our society, Father, it just seems like all common sense is just being thrown out the window.
Definitely, definitely. But we just have to be rooted in the truth. And Mother Angelica said, when all is said and done regarding the network, she said, they will talk not about what was done, but how it was done. And it was done with prayer, as a fruit of prayer. And this Holy Hour with Mother Angelica book really brings the fruit of her contemplative life. That's really what we should be as teachers. If we have anything lasting or of value to say, it's going to come from the fruit of contemplation, of union with God. And if we have that communion, that union with God, then we have something more than the world. And we have something that we can impart that's going to have a lasting impact and bear fruit in other people's souls. So the fruit of contemplation, that's how we can most affect and benefit the lives of others.
Now, I remember when I was a little girl, they used to do Eucharistic processions. And I know they still do them on the grounds at EWTN. And it's not something that we see anymore happening. And there was such, I think just there's such power behind it. And just, it was so grace-filled, not just for the people there, but also for the community, Father. And they don't seem to do that anymore. And there was such power in that. Do you know why we don't see that anymore?
Well, there are a number of parishes I know where they continue that beautiful tradition, as we do as well. And of course, we televise Corpus Christi procession every year. And so it's a way in which we express our faith in the reality of the Lord's presence. And it's a way in which we're saying we're walking with him and he is walking with us. So Jesus said, "Behold, I'm with you all days until the end of the world." And in a very particular way, it's in the Eucharist. Many people think of St. Francis of Assisi, and of course, Mother and our community as well, we're Franciscan in our spirituality. They think of him as a lover of animals. Okay, well, we could give him that, but it's much more, he was much more than that. He had a profound love for the Blessed Sacrament. And he said, "The friars are to show all possible reverence for the holy body and blood of the Lord." And in fact, the whole Franciscan movement has been called a movement of devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. So that's really the root of Mother Angelica's life. And this is an interesting parallel with Mother and St. Clare. So it was in 1957 that Pope Pius XII was looking for a patron for television, because television was being used more and more, was having influence, of course. And he realized, we need a heavenly patron. So who did he choose? St. Clare. Why would he choose St. Clare of Assisi? Because the last Christmas of Clare's life, she was too ill to attend the midnight mass. The other sisters had gone. She was alone, and she was saying to the Lord, "Here I am, all alone." And suddenly, she partook in the Mass. It was like she could see and she could hear everything that was going on in the Mass.
Wow.
And so he said, "Well, here's a good image of a patron for television." Well, who is the one who brought television to the home, the Mass into the home of so many? What was the instrument of Mother Angelica, a poor Clare of Perpetual Adoration? So it's an interesting parallel. It would be, in fact, a daughter of St. Clare that would bring this about.
Mother Angelica was not afraid. Well, she was, but she didn't care. You know, her love for Jesus was bigger. And I don't think people realize just this profound faith and courage that it took to just everything that was against her and how much was against her, but that she overcame that. And she didn't do that on her own, but it had to be her faith. It had to be her deep prayer life. And it had to be absolutely alongside with Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And she's someone I've always looked up to, and I love listening to her. And she just tells the truth. And she is not afraid of just telling the truth. And people just want to hear the truth, even though it may seem hard to say it or convey it, or always wonder, well, what's going to happen? Or will I get persecuted for this? But at the end of the day, we have to have that courage, because, again, we never know who it can affect, Father, because Mother Angelica, when she first started this out, I'm sure she had no idea. I know she had no idea the magnitude that God was truly thinking with her, mm-hmm. right? And it probably would have freaked her out. And thinking, I can't do that, you know, but of course she could. With Jesus, you can do anything. But it's just that faith and that courage that she had. And one thing that I've experienced in my own life, Father, is that the closer I got to Jesus in the Eucharist and the sacraments, and the more I would go, the closer I got to his light and his love, that the devil couldn't follow me there. And the vices couldn't follow me there. And that he had to go because he couldn't stand it. You know, he just couldn't stand it. And so for those of you out there listening, that if you're really struggling with a vice or an addiction, or just you can't overcome something, or you're just there's that struggle, I just truly encourage you to go to adoration and just sit there. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. Just sit there in front of Jesus and be with him. And he truly can transform you, because he has transformed me as a woman in my life and with my past sin and just how I used to be. That just know that the devil cannot follow you into that light of God, and he will envelop you. He'll embrace you, and he can absolutely transform you, and that you can be a saint. Mother Angelica said we're all called to be great saints, and don't miss the opportunity, right? It's just that daily yes to what he's asking us.
That's great, great advice, Crystalina, really great advice. And Mother could do what she did. She could face the obstacles and overcome them because of love. Love is the only thing that will motivate us. And if we come to know the greatest love story, which is the love of Jesus for us, and she understood she was a bride of Jesus. And when he was being attacked, there was nothing that she would not do to uphold his honor and to express her love. You know, one of my favorite stories, when she was invited to the Larry King live show to debate the head of the Motion Picture Association on The Last Temptation of Christ.
Wow.
So, kind of an intimidating.
Talk about lion's den. Wow, Father.
So she is there, and the head of the Motion Picture Association at the time, he was Catholic, and he was saying, well, we have to have freedom of press and freedom of speech. And Mother answered, look, sweetheart.
Of course she did.
And when you heard that, you knew you were in trouble. She said, look, sweetheart, I'm not talking about freedom of expression. I'm talking about responsibility. You are a child of God. And you have to take responsibility to see that, you know, that God is honored and loved. Wow. And that just kind of cuts through that whole jargon, right? That, we have to take responsibility. There's freedom, but there's responsibility to do the right thing, use our freedom as we ought.
That's right. Wow. And not to be afraid to defend Jesus, because we think, well, who am I to defend Jesus? He doesn't need defending. He's God, you know?
Right.
But no, we need to defend our faith. We need to be right there and defending Jesus in those times that we do see things that aren't right or upside down or just people throwing their common sense out the window, because deep down we do know better. Regardless, I know deep down we all know better. Father, this has been just such a blessing and so much fun to be here with you talking about all of this. What is just a small piece of advice that you can give our listener that they can apply today in their lives to get a little closer to Jesus, to deepen their faith, just something practical that they can do?
Yes, and I'll just take this from the Hour of Seeking Jesus. And one of Mother Angelica's touchstones in her spiritual life is living in the present moment. So we can live in the past, and we can live in regret over what we've done, or anger over what someone's done to us. And we can live there. We can have a cloud over our heads for the rest of our lives without forgiving or receiving forgiveness from God. Or we can live in the future in fear, anxiety. What if this? What if that? Or we can live in the only moment that matters, the only thing that we have, the present moment, and to love God in this present moment, love others, strive to seek the Lord, be faithful to Him, to His will this moment. And if we live in the present moment, then we're going to bear abundant fruit. Because when we look at the world, we could throw up our hands and say, there's nothing you can do, it's all hopeless. Or we can look with hope to Jesus and say, here I am, use me however you will. Help me to bear fruit. I love you, Lord. I love you for those who don't love you. And if we live in the love of God, that's the very best thing that we can do for the world, the church, our families, and ourselves.
Beautifully said. That's just perfect. Thank you so much, Father. And again, if you would like to buy Mother Angelica's book, Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, where can they get it, Father?
EWTN Religious Catalog. So I think it's EWTN.rc. I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You can go to EWTN.com and find the religious catalog there.
Right.
And order that book today, and it should be out soon. And you can start praying like Mother Angelica did, and with her in adoration, and all the beautiful prayers and litanies and Bible passages that she used. And I'm going to tell you, Father, I absolutely love what your recommendation was about doing a 28-day retreat with this book. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that. So I'll let you know how that goes, but that I'm really excited, and I think it's going to be beautiful. But thank you so much for being here with us, and please keep us all in your prayers, Father, and we'll be praying for you.
My pleasure, Crystalina. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. I want to thank my guest again, Father Joseph, for being here. And for those of you that don't know, EWTN has an online learning series for Women Made New. And what they did is they took the book Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing, and they turned it into an 8-part learning series. And Father Joseph did one of those chapters and videos in that online learning series, along with Mother Angelica, Teresa Tomeo, Cameron Frad, myself, Joy Pinto. They did an awesome job. And if you want to heal and you want to start over, and you know there's just something more and that God is calling you to, maybe start with this. So you can download the mobile app, the EWTN learning app that they have, and just go through it and just take your time. And it's just absolutely beautiful to see how this is helping women all over the world. So again, you can go to EWTN.com/womenmadenew, or you can just download the EWTN learning app, and it's right there in your phone. So I will leave you with Father Joseph kind of explaining the learning series. God bless.
Hello, family. I'm currently on location in Birmingham, Alabama, and we are filming a wonderful free 8-part EWTN online learning series, Women Made New. We all have wounds, and we all need healing, even if we think we're fine. Stop saying, I'm fine. And let the divine physician, Jesus, in. You will not be disappointed. This video series is for women who want to change, have a better life, and be happy. Join me and some gifted presenters such as Cameron Frad and Teresa Tomeo as together we experience God's mercy and find a path to healing, wholeness, and holiness. I hope you will join me. Sign up for the videos at EWTN.com/womenmadenew.